Welcome to the Live Greatly podcast. I'm your host, Crystal Bauer. It's time to say goodbye to sacrificing your well-being on the way to success. As an entrepreneur in wellness, integrative medicine fellow, university lecturer, longtime physician assistant, experienced in integrative psychiatry and functional medicine, and a keynote speaker, I have a lot of experience and expertise to share. So get ready to optimize your well-being and move in the direction of your dreams. Help spread this valuable and powerful message by sharing the podcast with your friends, family, and community. Together, we can make a profound impact on the world. Now for a quick disclaimer, the views and opinions expressed on this podcast are purely the opinions of the author. They are not intended to provide medical advice or treatment recommendations, and the contents of this podcast are intended for informational and educational purposes only. Please always seek the guidance of your physician or other qualified healthcare professional. And if you have any questions regarding your specific health, changes to diet and exercise, and any medical conditions. We are so lucky to have an amazing guest today, Kelly Springer. And Kelly Springer's passion for nutrition started at a very young age, and it grows stronger every day. She's been fortunate to have worked in multiple areas of nutrition. She started her career at age 17 and has worked as a clinical, residential, bariatric, community, retail, and media dietitian. She now owns her own nutrition company, Kelly's Choice, LLC. Kelly's Choice contracts registered dietitians to promote the message of real food. Kelly is currently consulting with food companies, colleges, sports teams, school districts, restaurants, medical practices, television stations, and workplaces. Kelly's been featured on PBS, Good Morning America, ABC, and Fox. And Kelly's goal is to share her passion for nutrition with the world. And then at the end, I will let you know how to find her. So welcome, Kelly. Thank you so much
Hi.
For being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great doing these and getting our word out.
Yeah, wonderful. You know, I think right now with everything going on with COVID, stress, that people are at home, they're working from home, that nutrition is such an important topic. And I've been getting a lot of questions about, you know, eating to optimize mental health, and also what can people do to stop munching on unhealthy food when they're at home. So I'm just so happy that you're here today, because I think we're going to have a lot to talk about.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will.
Yeah. Well, I would love to just get started to hear a little bit more about your background. And I know right now you're working mostly as a media dietitian, and then also you have your business. So maybe you could share just a little bit about what you're currently up to.
Absolutely. So I was really fortunate. I've had kind of an amazing career where I've been able to do a lot of different things, as you mentioned in my bio. And it was when I worked for Wegmans Food Markets that I actually realized all the potential of working with food companies and actually companies as well, going into work sites and things like that. And so I started enlisting dietitians to work with me. So now we are this collaborative of dietitians working together. And the reason why that's so cool and why I'm so excited about it is because we can do a little bit of everything. So we can cover a long-term care menus to seeing a two-year-old to being in schools. And so because we work together, we can do what we love and really, you know, have that help from behind.
That's amazing. And so you now are an entrepreneur too, you know, so you have your own business, which is amazing. And are you currently doing a lot of different like TV appearances, or what is your main
focus? So I've been doing TV for the last 12 years, but through COVID things changed a lot because we're able to do TV just like this. Yeah. So I'm able to, you know, show products and reach out to stations nationwide sitting right here in my home. So I was traveling and going all over, and now we can reach, you know, 5 cities in one morning. Mm-hmm. So I'm doing a lot more television appearances, and working with different food brands to get their message out. So mm-hmm. It's honestly very stressful every time.
Yeah.
But thank goodness, knock on wood, the technology has worked. We're so fortunate to be able to work in this way and basically pivot. And the hosts have been, you know, so grateful and so helpful in this process as well. So it's mm-hmm. been a really neat opportunity.
That's awesome. You know, I'm wondering too, why you got into nutrition. Like, has this been a lifelong passion? Like, we right now are watching Chopped Junior with my kids, and my kids are obsessed with it. And just today they're like, we're going to make our own dressing and we're going to make this. And I love it. Like, I love seeing them so passionate about making healthy food. So I'm just curious if this was something that's been going on for a while.
So I tell my clients, you know, I feel extremely fortunate that I was raised with multiple generations of healthy eaters. And I know that's not true in a lot of homes. So my grandmother, my mother, always believed in, you know, making sure that we had set meals that had all of your food groups. There wasn't a lot of snacking in our house. If you did want a snack, you grabbed a piece of fruit or a vegetable. Mm-hmm. So these are some of the practices I still teach today. So I feel fortunate to have been led that way. But it was actually when I was starting babysitting my dad's one of 12. So I started babysitting at a very young age. And my dad's youngest sister is a registered dietitian. And I saw that she could use her degree with her children and also be able to do all these different jobs. So she worked in a grocery store. She worked as a dietitian for a big, huge diabetes company. She was able to do all these really neat things. And I love that you could reinvent yourself and also use it with your family on a daily basis. So I just fell in love with the profession. And I started at 17 years old, pushing tray carts in the hospital and working every summer in clinical during college, and then jumped right into it. So it just fits me. Like, it just is, you know, I feel fortunate to love what I do.
That's amazing. You know, and curious about your, how you're approaching nutrition. You know, there's so many different ways to go about it. And, you know, I think it can be so overwhelming for people when, if they're navigating it on their own, it's like, do I do plant-based? Do I do keto? Do I do, you know, gluten-free? Am I dairy-free? There's so much information out there. And, you know, personally, with my background, I'm very much a fan of the anti-inflammatory diet. I typically recommend, you know, plant-based eating and, you know, cranking up whole foods. But I'm curious what your thoughts are and what you like to follow.
Well, our tagline is real people promoting real food. So you are correct. We are always trying to promote real food. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to restriction, that's where I get a little nervous. So we really try to make sure that people understand what they're getting from their food. And I think by educating, and that's our whole goal, is education. So through that education, they'll understand why they're eating what they're eating and what they should be eating because of that reason. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think a lot of it, personally, I'm like, it's a very individual process. You know, I think whole food, I am all for it. But when you're talking about restriction, right? I'm like, that, mm-hmm. I think, can be really tricky. And it's not like a blanket statement, like everyone should avoid this. That's my thought.
That's exactly how I feel. And I think, again, through education, people can make their own choices. That's why I love, like, our name of our company is Kelly's Choice. It is your choice in what you choose to put in your body. It is your choice, you know, at the end of the day. So I can give you the knowledge to make those better choices. And that's my goal. But if, you know, it's still your choice. And I want to always give people that power, because I feel a lot of these diets take that away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's definitely fair. You know, I'm curious what your thoughts are on gluten and dairy. Like, that was a question I got all of the time when I was practicing in functional medicine and integrative psychiatry. And I found with certain people that they felt better when they were off of it. But again, I don't like making a blanket statement, because I eat gluten and I, you know, and I've tried to go off of it just to see out of curiosity. And I'm like, oh, I feel the same, you know, but I'm curious. And my husband and I don't eat much dairy, but again, it's one of those things where you read a lot about, like, you know, staying away from gluten, staying away from dairy. And I really think it comes down to what works for your body, but I'm curious what your thoughts are on where you stand with all that.
So I think a lot of these GI issues, the way of gluten sensitivity or lactose sensitivity, is actually spurring from an underlying problem, as you were talking about getting into integrative nutrition. Mm-hmm. So a lot that we're learning in the last, you know, 5-10 years, it's new research about the digestive tract. And basically, what we're finding is most Americans have a very diminished gut flora.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's causing problems. So there could be problems. So there are real problems. We're not saying that you're made up or what you feel isn't real, because it probably is. But are we just band-aiding it by not having people eat gluten and dairy? Shouldn't we be fixing the problem? So by looking at what's going on with your actual gut bacteria, can we get you back onto whole foods that, like dairy, have tons of nutrients and vitamins, excellent source of protein, mm-hmm. and gluten foods are loaded with fiber. So this is where, again, it gets back to why are you doing what you're doing? So if you're having digestive issues, let's see if we can fix the problem mm-hmm. and get down to that, the bottom of it. So I was, you know, you could say fortunate or unfortunate. My daughter was diagnosed with an overgrowth of bad bacteria at the age of 5. She's now 13.
Okay.
So back then, which doesn't seem that long ago, they really didn't know a lot about this. And they thought she had a lactose intolerance because she was having mm-hmm. a reaction to lactose. Well, as it comes out, it wasn't a lactose intolerance. It was an overgrowth of bacteria. So by fixing that mm-hmm. problem, thank goodness, knock on wood, the child can eat everything now with any no digestive issues. I'm so grateful that she went through that. And I know that's horrible to say, but I've been able to help so many more people because of understanding what was going on inside of her.
Mm-hmm. Did she have, was it SIBO, the small intestine?
So what happened was she had an ear infection, went on antibiotics.
Yeah.
Right after came Halloween, right after came Thanksgiving yeah. and Christmas, sugar intake and bad bacteria took over. So he didn't label as one bad bacteria over another. It just was an overgrowth of the bad bacteria. Yep. So a complete imbalance. And so they had to knock out both. So I was like, you want to put her on antibiotics again? I'm like, wait a minute. Oh. But he said, we have to wipe out the good and the bad. We have to start over. We have to replenish. We have to get her the fiber sources. We got to get the probiotics. And like I said, thank goodness, absolutely no digestive issues. And she was like exorcist child, like scary, like weird, you know, when she ate lactose. Wow. So I just wonder how many Americans are dealing with these digestive issues from their lack of fiber, antibiotic use,
right?
You know, all these different issues of, you know, poor diets, stress levels, lack of hydration. There's a lot of reasons why we could have a diminished gut bacteria. And so by able to like educate and fix that problem, I think it fixes the sensitivities.
I think not that's really,
but in yeah. a lot of cases, is.
Yeah. And that was something that I would always come back to. And that was like front and center when I was practicing clinically, it was gut health, right? And we did a lot of different protocols for that. And we did testing and stuff. But I'm curious, if you have any general suggestions for people, what can they do on their own to really support their gut health? And you know, I know personally, I'm like, stress management is huge, you know, sleep, obviously like eating, you know, I love that you mentioned fiber. I think that's something wonderful, but I was hoping you might be able to share your tips for that.
Yes. So fiber was one of those interesting ones. And when getting into this whole digestive education and how it all works and everything, I don't think a lot of people understand that the gut bacteria only live on fiber-rich sources. So if you're not feeding them what they need to survive, they're not going to survive. So, but then we get into the word fiber, and a lot of people don't know what foods actually have fiber. So my husband was cooking, and he's a doctor, highly educated, and he's cooking this meal the other night. And he said, it's cabbage. He goes, it's loaded with fiber. And I said, well, no, cabbage doesn't really have that much fiber. I'm like, it makes you gassy. Is that what you think? I said, do you think gassy equates to fiber? And, you know, so it's really funny to me that even, you know, someone that's so educated and knowledgeable and living with me, you know, that he would not really know that. So it was just really funny. And sorry, my fax is going off. We have a referral coming in.
Oh, that's okay.
You know, it's just really interesting. So I really want to put out there of what foods have fiber for people. The really, really, really high fiber contents are like beans, legumes. You want to make sure like your avocados, like things like that, that are going to be like absolutely loaded, but beans are like one of the highest, and there's something crazy, like 72 different variety of beans. So when people tell me they don't like beans, I'm like, have you tried all 72? Cause there's a lot of them. There's a lot of different flavors.
Yeah.
But there's just, you know, ways to get in those really good fiber-rich sources and whole grains like quinoa and farro and millet and amaranth. And there's lots of great ways. And that's where, you know, understanding where you can actually get fiber, I think, is one of our first hurdles. And we recommend about 5 to 6 grams of fiber per meal. So making sure at each mealtime that we're getting that good fiber-rich source.
So what would be your go-to fiber source for breakfast?
So for breakfast, well, I'm a huge fan of eggs, which is really an interesting, controversial topic as well. I'm a huge fan of eggs and because of the nutrition that is in there. In other words, eggs do not have fiber. So let me just clarify that. But they have tons of nutrients and vitamins. So I pair them with whole wheat toast. So the whole wheat toast that I use has about 4 grams of fiber. And then I compare it with an avocado, which is probably in the amount I have adds another 3 grams. So I'm getting about 7 grams of fiber in that breakfast. If I don't do that, then I'll do like berries and granola with yogurt. So I have that as well. So I'm getting the berries and the granola are going to be adding in that fiber rich source. And then for lunches, you know, making sure that I have tons of vegetables. My husband, I'm huge on leftovers, just so you know. It's like I'm the only dietitian that really doesn't like to cook. So I like to cook more at one time or have my husband cook more. So then I have it for lunch. So having like right now in the fridge, we have a kale mixed with and he steamed it, so it was delicious, with peppers, which are high fiber source, and then also some beans added in. So just begin get those great sources of fiber. And then for dinner, making sure we have a whole grain every single night. So that could be our favorite in our family is farro. I'm not sure if you guys have heard of that, but it's the original grain of Italy, and it's just this nutty, yummy flavor. Sometimes we'll mix it in with quinoa, or we'll have like a potato or something that has a good fiber source. So, just mixing it up your fiber sources, as much as possible, but those are some of my go-tos.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. You know, I try and do sprouted grains and I use a lot of Ezekiel. I'll have to look at the fiber content. I'm curious, but I like when I'm doing
really good. And that's, you know, for people that do have some gluten sensitivities, the sprouted grains are easier on their system. So an Ezekiel bread could be a fantastic way, any of those sprouted grains. So just so you know what that means, a lot of people don't understand it. So the sprout is actually like the top of the grain. So it doesn't have a hard husk on it, which the whole wheat might have a harder husk. So it's harder to digest.
Okay, that's awesome. Thank you for that. And you mentioned peppers, and that got me thinking. I know that certain peppers, I wasn't aware until my integrated medicine fellowship that a lot of them are really high in vitamin C.
So high, right?
Like, I was like,
crazy high.
Yeah, I had no idea. And we were doing, I think I listened to a lecture. There was some sort of conversation about helping support your immune system, right? With everything going on with COVID. So I wanted to kind of dive into that. Like, do you have anything that you go to for supporting your immune system? I know personally, I like, you know, turmeric and ginger and then peppers and vitamin C, but wondering if you might have some tips.
Well, so it's just funny because if you can't tell, I actually have a cold, which I never get sick, and my husband spread it to the whole family.
Oh no.
So I honestly do think that honey does have some amazing properties, and there's, I'm holding a bottle actually. This is the one that I'm using right now, but Manuka honey has so many health benefits. So Manuka, just so you know what that means, is that it comes from New Zealand and the bees get their nectar from the Manuka bush. And so that's how it gets its name. And it has like these amazing properties, but they came out with some like these little gummy chews, and it has like, you know, your vitamin C and selenium and zinc. So everything to kind of help you to either prevent this cold or get rid of it more quickly. So yes, I really do think that those are great. And I do think probiotics, getting the bacillus form, newest researches is mixing up your probiotics. So naturally you could get it in through kefir, through sauerkraut, kimchi is absolutely delicious. Mm-hmm. And so mixing up those different types of probiotics. And if you're taking it orally, just make sure you're getting a different kind each time, because it will help that diversity of that gut flora.
Okay. So kind of circling back on optimizing that gut flora, which I think is so important. So we have, you know, fiber, right? And
the next one is water. Okay. So I'm holding up because I drink hot water. This is my Livy. This is my daughter's cup that she made. And hot water for me just works extremely well to keep me warm, satisfied, hydrated. It's easier to drink. So I know it sounds like a crazy thing, but especially as the winter comes and it's freezing up here in the north, it just really helps me stay hydrated. But any way you can hydrate, hydration is key to that gut bacteria. So they need it for the mobility, and they also need it. Every living cell needs that hydration as well.
Okay, perfect. So I've got water, and then probiotics, I think, that definitely can be beneficial from food, or talk to your healthcare provider about, what might work for you. And then
the other one, the last one I'm going to leave you with that is we have to cut out chemicals. We really have to cut out chemicals. So I give the analogy of a goldfish. And the reason why I use goldfish is because we live in a place where that has a state fair, and everyone in this area has had a goldfish at one point in their life. Mm-hmm. So I always say you have to feed the fish food that it needs, which is the fiber. You have to give it enough water, right? So it can swim around and stay healthy and have that mobility. And you also have to make sure there's no chemicals. So think about putting a packet of aspartame into the fish bowl. Think about putting Clorox into that fish bowl or whatever it is. Chemicals are going to kill the fish, mm-hmm. right? So we really have to make sure as much as possible to stay away from artificial sweeteners. Mm-hmm. It's just something that I'm grateful that consumers have had a major pushback. And so it seems like a lot of our food companies are listening and taking mm-hmm. artificial sweeteners out. And so I think that's going to happen more and more, that getting back to real food, because mm-hmm. that's not a real food.
Yeah. Yeah. What about stevia?
So stevia is one that we do promote, and both stevia and monk fruit are the ones. So monk fruit, just coming from the monk tree, the monk fruit. It's from Southeast Asia. It's been around for centuries. And then stevia as well. But the problem is with those two is that people use too much of it because it's so much sweeter than sugar that they don't like it. So I just recommend people just use a little bit to start off, and you'll get that amazing sweet taste. You just don't need as much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I always can tell, like, I'm not personally, I don't really have that much stuff that's sweet, or I'll use like fruit for smoothies, or, if I'm going to do it, I'll use like a little maple syrup or like a little bit of honey or something. But the stevia is a question that I've always had, because I've heard different things, and we always stay away from the artificial sweeteners as best we can, at least in our house. So those are,
you can make sure too, that you're getting organic stevia, because sometimes, this is the research that I've done, is that sometimes when companies are producing or packaging stevia, they'll add in other things. Mm-hmm. So just be careful of that label. Just make sure it's basically a clean label and just says stevia.
Right. And I like the EWG, I think, is a really great resource for, like, if people, I always like to try and buy organic. I think if people can buy organic, that's great. And if they can't, I know that the EWG has like the clean, I think the clean 15, the dirty dozen. And I'm sure,
Yeah. And we, honestly, so that gets me, I'm so glad you brought up that point, because we really want people to eat more fruits and vegetables. So if you're buying conventional, fruits and vegetables, it's fine. That's not what I'm concerned about. It's more about these artificial sweeteners that are coming into our life. Truly, the antioxidants coming from fruits and vegetables is so much greater than any pesticide. So don't be afraid. That's something. So I got to go out to the strawberry fields a couple of years ago and got an amazing education on pesticides versus not, versus organic versus whatever. As a dietitian, I just really, truly want to encourage fresh fruits and vegetables, and even frozen fruits and vegetables, even canned. And I know it sounds crazy, but you're getting that fruit or vegetable. So just any way you could potentially get that in. I don't want pesticides to scare you away. Mm-hmm.
I think that the frozen is such a great
option
for people too. Like, if things are not in season,
you are the best host in the world. So I completely agree with you. I completely agree, because it's a third of the cost. Mm-hmm. It's not going to go bad. You can use it anytime. You can get a huge variety. So our entire freezer, we have a deep freezer, and it's full of tons of different fruits and vegetables. They're great for smoothies, right?
Yes. I know during COVID, I was like, okay, I need to stock up on frozen fruits and frozen vegetables. And there was like nothing left. I'm like, oh no, what am I going to do? And then, you know, thankfully things opened back up. But yeah, I was like, I need to get more. You know,
getting back to our fiber, it's so easy to add in something frozen. So even if you had, say you had a can of soup, which isn't necessarily the best thing in the world, but if you add some frozen veggies to it, you just up the nutrition right there and how easy that was.
Yeah, it's simple things. I have a couple more questions that I want to make sure I get in. What do you like to cook with as far as oils? I know that was a big thing we covered in my fellowship, but I think there's like a lot of confusion and I still have to look things up as far as the smoke point, because I used to cook with oils that had low smoke points and I didn't realize that. Like I would do higher heat cooking with olive oil and I didn't realize that that wasn't a good idea. So now I do have a lot of cooking with avocado oil and I've started using algae oil as well, which Dr. Weil recommends, but I'm curious what you think, because this is a one that you hear different things about.
So that's an awesome question. So I know the algae oil. So I love Thrive. That's what's in my cupboard. Yes. I absolutely love it. Super high smoke point. It's like 485 degrees. You can do everything. The best part, it's tasteless basically. Yeah. So you don't have like, if you're making it with eggs, cause I don't really want my eggs tasting like a strong oil. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's so good that you can cook it on a higher temperature, but you're correct. So I got this education way back in my internship. I had to do a presentation for the chefs at Le Moyne College and on oils. Huh. And so I was like, okay. So I was like doing my research and I'm like, huh, smoke points. So it was interesting. I went back to my husband. I'm like, you've been smoking this out like every night with olive oil. Like, so this is where to break this down for the people listening. So different oils have different smoke points. So what it means is if you are cooking a temperature to the point where your house fills with smoke, like my husband was doing, that means that you have actually changed the dynamic of that oil to not a good oil. So it's turns to a not so great fat. So you've heard of like trans fat. So it turns the oil. That's why it's so bad. It's bad that it smokes your house out, but it's also bad for your health. So you want to make sure that you're using an oil that's appropriate for the cooking method that you're doing. Mm-hmm. So if you're doing like a stir fry at a super, super high temperature, like you were saying, using like an avocado oil, which has like a 500 degree smoke point versus an olive oil, which might only have like 325. So hopefully that makes sense to consumers. So there's different smoke points for different oils. So you want to make sure that you're using the appropriate one. But olive oil is great for low temperature cooking, for salad dressings, for things like that. It's very healthy, great oil, but not great for high temperature cooking.
Yeah, I agree. What are your thoughts on canola oil? Out of curiosity, that's another one I like hear different things about.
So canola oil is interesting. So it's Canadian oil. It's actually rapeseed. Huh. I know, is that funny? So I got, because rape on a label didn't seem like a good idea. So they turned it into canola oil, Canada oil. And it's again, it's one of those that is from the vegetable. It's from the rapeseed, and can be used in, you know, we have all these different oils in our house. So depending on what type of cooking we're going to do and what that flavor should taste like, it just depends on what you want to use it for. But, you know, the only one that concerns me is when people were taking huge scoops of coconut oil, just because it does have a saturated fat. And so again, using these fats sparingly, because they are super, super dense in calories, and just taking scoops of oil doesn't really make sense to me. So
there is
put
a scoop of the coconut oil in your coffee. Yeah. And I was like, ooh, I always would get nervous about that when people would come in and when I was practicing functional medicine, because some of the research, some people were all for it. And I personally was like, let's just do it in moderation.
Moderation. Yes. So it does have the medium chain fatty acids, you know, and okay. So it does. And it is used in tube feeds. It breaks down cleanly, but again, it goes back to moderation. So if you're eating a lot of that saturated fat, it is going to affect cholesterol. And even though cholesterol is not a horrible, bad thing either, we just want to make sure we're doing things in moderation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm curious too, what your thoughts are on intermittent fasting, because this was, I mean, there's research out there and I think that the research is really compelling, but at the same time, I have been so ingrained to be like, eat breakfast. I am someone, I have to eat breakfast because that just gets me started. And so I'm curious what your, you know, how you feel about intermittent fasting.
Well, I think it's a way to sell a book. I think that, I think again, this kind of goes back to some new fad thing. So I was really lucky before COVID hit, I got to go to India with Syracuse University and go to all different Ayurvedic practices and medical practices and colleges. And something that really stuck with me was at the Ayurvedic hospital. And they actually went through the whole body with sleep, with eating, with everything. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason why we break the fast. So I do believe in America, we don't leave enough time between our meals and we're snacking all the time. Remember that raising thing was a fad too.
Yeah.
I think there should be set times that we're eating and there should be time in between. And then there should be a long time between dinner and breakfast. And I think that has become shorter and shorter and shorter. And that's why digestive issues and sleep are affected and all of that is happening. But I do truly strongly believe that we should be having three meals that are contain your protein, your fiber, your nutrients and vitamins. When you're skipping meals and doing things like that, the body doesn't know when food's coming in. It's tends to hold on to calories, slow down metabolism. Mm-hmm. So I worked in bariatrics for 3 years and people that did fasting or, you know, a binge type of eating always slowed their metabolism down and always affected them in the long run. Mm-hmm. So it was just interesting to see like the aftermath of years of doing these wacky kind of fad diets of where it led them.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I think I want to ask you one more thing and then yeah. I'm hoping that you can let everyone know how to find you.
Sure. Now,
I worked with a lot of women who felt like they were eating well and they were moving and they weren't losing weight. And I'm curious, I think a lot of it from what I was seeing, you know, I think some hormones had a play in there and then also potentially gut health and other things. But I'm mm-hmm. curious if you ever see this and if you have any thoughts on when people are, I guess, doing the right things and they're not losing weight if they have weight to lose that they like to lose.
So again, I think it goes back to the right combination of foods and making sure that that protein and fiber is there. What I find a lot in the patients that we see is that the carbohydrate intake is still too high. And not that I'm not super restrictive, mm-hmm. but as Americans, we just are eating way too many simple carbohydrates and they're just like, they're slipping in like they're like, oh, grab that like handful of pretzels or grab this, whatever. Yeah. Or it's like, it's a completely mindless thought process, you know, of how easy and how convenient they are. Like right now there's crackers actually sitting on my table. Like, so if I'm sitting here and I just got through something, I could grab them. Mm-hmm. And so that weight tends to hold on because that insulin level that is spurred from eating those carbohydrates, if it's not used, its main job is to store as fat. Mm. So every time we eat carbohydrates, when our body doesn't need them, we're going to store as fat because we haven't gotten to the point where we have changed, right? We haven't gone through this evolution process. So I got to see Dr. Katz present this in a great way. And he said that a polar bear for centuries has been absorbing heat and it stays alive because it can absorb heat really well and stay in those freezing, freezing cold temperatures. He said, if you take a polar bear and you put it down in Africa, it's going to keep absorbing heat and not know when to stop, right? So the same as humans, so we had the ability to hold on to this fat and hold on to these carbohydrates mm-hmm. so that we could go from place to place and hunt and gather and have this storage. But now we're just storing and storing and storing and storing mm-hmm. and it's not going anywhere. So we just haven't evolved yet, which is, it'll be interesting to see if some people do or don't. And so I tell people that aren't losing weight, I'm like, you're a really good store. Like, you store really well.
Yeah,
so right. Let's work on, and that's what we work on, timing of when they're eating, what they're eating, and a huge piece is food journaling. So now with our platform, we have a virtual platform where they can take pictures of their food and send it, and they have a reaction with the dietitian. So it just gets them more aware of every time those carbohydrates are coming into their space. Mm-hmm. And not that they're bad. They're the number one source of energy. We need carbohydrates. We're not cutting out carbs. Right. It's just that understanding how many are actually coming in.
Mm-hmm. That's really helpful. I think mindful eating too, and like mindfulness yes. practices, like you said, a lot of it is you're not like fully present. You're kind of just doing it without really recognizing that you're grazing or you're grabbing something, you're eating your kids' leftovers or whatever it is, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it happened to me. Like, I'm not saying I'm, you know, I'm like the hero of it all. You know, through COVID, my kids were home baking and doing, you know, and I was just like, I was stressed out because I was behind this computer screen and trying mm-hmm. to make it all work. And, you know, and believe me, if you have those types of foods in your house, especially now that we're home, you're going to eat them. No one is a hero. So, mm-hmm. you know, my advice is just make sure that, you know, you limit the amount of those easy access carbohydrate foods in your house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great advice. I think it's the planning, right? And like having yeah. stuff available that you can grab quickly and that's healthy. Like I love having nuts. I'm a big nut fan. So it's like nuts and maybe some apple or, you know, something that I can grab that's yes. healthier, right?
That's right. It's right. And then just being mindful, like you said, I think that's a huge, huge aspect is just knowing like, are you hungry? Are you bored? Are you, I think the stress level right now, people are, mm-hmm. it's a really stressful time, that unknown of what's going to happen or if your kids are going to be mm-hmm. stuck home. You know, we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring.
Right. So it's before you grab that snack, it's like checking in with yourself. What do I really need right now? Do I need, am I really truly hungry? Or maybe do I need to like go for a walk or meditate? Or do I, you know, do I need a hug or what do I yes. need? Right. But this has been wonderful. I'm hoping that you can share how people can find you and
yes.
you know, learn more about all the wonderful things you're doing.
Yeah. So on our website, it's kellyschoice.org. And please check us out on social media as well under Kelly Springer RD. We would love to have you there because we have recipes, we're posting things, and it's just really fun. Social media has been a great outlet. I just got to do an Instagram live for California Strawberries. And so talk about mindless eating, like in between, I'm like, you know, eating this thing I made for them, which was really fun. But you can check out that recipe as well. But definitely go to kellyschoice.org and you can see all of our offerings that we have for worksites and for private practice.
Fantastic. Well, Kelly, thank you so much. This has been amazing chatting with you. And, you know, hopefully I can even have you back down the line.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Okay, thanks, Kelly. Have a good one.
Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. You can learn more about me and Live Greatly at www.livegreatly.co. I have an 8-week online course that can help you optimize your well-being and performance and really have true transformation with daily videos that are about 2 to 7 minutes, so micro content, easily absorbable. And I also am going to be launching a new online course to help you eat to optimize your mood and really optimize your nutrition. So sign up for my email list to be notified of when that launches, which will be very soon. And please follow me on Instagram at livegreatly_CO and on Twitter at livegreatly_CO. You can check me out on Facebook at livegreatly.co. I'm also very active on LinkedIn, Crystal Bauer, KRISTEL, and then Bauer's BAUER. Please reach out if I can help you or your business, your team, your organization. I am happy to help however I can. And I greatly appreciate it if you could leave a review, subscribe to the podcast, share it with your friends and family, and let's really help inspire others to live their best lives. And until next time, this is Crystal Bauer with Live Greatly, inspiring you to awaken your ultimate potential.